Well, hey guys, welcome to week 3 of the Grow Journey. My name's Andy Ryder, but we're going to be continuing this journey by hearing from our senior pastor, Brian Tome, on what amazing stuff happens when we share our stories. Let's get started right now.
In this journey on growth, there's things that God is growing in us and things that he wants to drop away. Oftentimes, things have to drop away to make room for the new things that are going to grow. Today I'm going to talk about a new thing that I'm hoping grows inside of all of us. It's a thing that's very, very rare. We feel very awkward about it. It's basically sharing your story, expressing our faith. Let's pray before I try to see if God might grow that in us today. God, I'm honored to be able to talk about things that are beyond the normal and things that are transcendent and epic and eternal. And today is one of those times. And my ask is that you would grow us, your people, to be better communicators and even wanting to communicate. May all that is said be helpful. Most importantly, may it be truthful as you get the honor. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you like what is happening right now in your life, just keep doing what you're doing right now in your life, because you and I will keep getting it. If we want something different, and this is where it gets difficult, if we want something different, we're going to have to do something difficult. Let's say that again. If you want something different, you're going to have to do something difficult. If we want to grow, the reason we're not growing is there's something that we need to do that we don't want to do, which is keeping us from that growth, right? I mean, think about this. You know, there's things all of us have about physically, things you like about ourselves physically or don't like about ourselves physically. To get to another place physically, whatever that place is for you, it's going to require you doing something you don't want to do. Like, I have, I'm very inflexible. My hamstrings are like, they're like 2x4s. They're very inflexible. And I know what I should do. People are like, have you tried yoga? Yeah, I've done yoga. Yoga sucks. I hate yoga. Yes, I know. someday maybe I'll make yoga part of my normal routine. But again, my point is to me, it's difficult for me. I don't want to do it. So therefore, I'm not growing in flexibility right now. This could be said of us intellectually, our prayer life, our relational life. Find the thing that you don't want to do that's likely to cause you to grow, and that is the pressure point. That's the touch point. Today, I get to talk about something you don't want to do. What you don't want to do, what we don't want to do, is talk about our faith. We're okay to talk about it in here, or if we're with the Amen Choir, but when it comes to actually articulating and speaking what we think and what we believe, we're just not up for that. And Jesus knows that. He understands that. In fact, that was very common back in his day as well. And he had a bunch of different angles that he took when he talked about this. Let me give you a few today. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, here's what he says. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand so that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." They see our good works and they know our good works are driven by who God is in our life because we talk about it. We tell our story. That's what Jesus is talking about here. I know we've got folks at Crossroads every weekend, which is exactly why we started the church. You're not, quote unquote, in the faith. You don't believe that Jesus is much different from Buddha, if at all. You're in seeking mode. It's amazing you're here. It's exactly why we started Crossroads. We need you here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Today, I'm going to talk, though, to most of us who say, I am a follower of Jesus. I am following him. And if today, if you're a seeker, if you're not sure if that's real, you actually might find something as I challenge people in here who are believers today, you might find something that puts you over the edge. You go, oh, I didn't think about that before. Maybe today I want to receive. You've come into a place, we've all come into a place where there is light. How stupid would it be to be in darkness and you have a solution for the darkness, but you keep it under a bushel? That's what Jesus is saying. He said, could you imagine that's just like hiding your light under a bushel? Like, please. I thought this was supposed to be on. Supposed to be on. It's supposed to be a big dramatic reveal. Oh, a light under a bushel. How stupid would it be to be in a dark room and you have a light, but you're hiding it by putting under a bushel. Jesus is saying, this is what it's like when you have the light of Christ inside of you, when you have a life source, a light source, and you never talk about it. It's foolish. It's like putting your light under a bushel. Why would you want to be in a place where you need light, but you can't find it because it's under a bushel? No, man, you need a thing out. You need a thing out to actually give light. You need light coming out. Laser pointer. People hate when I point these at crowds. Like, don't point it at eyes. That's exactly what I'm doing right now. It's wonderful. Burning your retinas out right now. A laser pointer. Why, it's stupid. Why put your light under a bushel? Why put your light under a bushel? Oh, man. Don't put your light under a bushel. Don't put your beer in the refrigerator. Bring it out in the light of day. God bless America. I'm not going to drink all of this. I've done that before. I don't feel like having three beers before 12 a.m. today, so I'm not going to do that. But let me tell you, you know why I do that? Every once in a while, I do that. I do that little gig. I drink a beer. You know why I do that? It's an intentional thing. I know it ticks some of you off. But you know, I'm not doing it to intentionally tick some of you off. I do it because there's some people in here, maybe it's your first time, and like you think that the only people who believe in Jesus are people who only have coffee, which if you only have coffee and tea, that's great. That's awesome. But sometimes you can go like, oh, wait a minute. You can like be a hardcore believer in the Bible and like actually have a beer? Oh, maybe I would listen to you. It's taking down a barrier. And there's other people, it might be an actual barrier too. And that's why if you don't like that idea, that's why you need to bring your light out. They need to see people who only have coffee and tea and Coca-Cola need to see how you have fun in your own way and you love God as well. This is what it means. We have to be who God has made us to be and put it on display. Not because we want everyone to see who we are and we want to be our authentic selves. Not that. We want people to see who Jesus is making us to be, who God is being inside of us. Jesus says, don't, man, bring it out. Bring it out in the light. Everybody else is coming out. You may as well come out. Come out and put the light all over the place. There's a bunch of different metaphors. Another one, you got this when you came in here today, is some seeds here. A bunch of seed metaphors. Let's read one here. Here it is. Matthew chapter 9, a few chapters later, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Here we have a couple more metaphors. He's just kind of hitting uppercuts and lefts and rights, trying to get the point across. Like, light, don't put your light under a bushel. Here's another one. Sheep, we're like harassed sheep. Jesus sees people, average people like you and I, and says, man, people are hurting. They're wounded. They're walking around. They don't have anybody to nurture them. And then he says, harvest. There's a harvest. There's people who need harvested. Take these seeds here, if you will. Just drop some seeds on yourself. Just drop them on yourself right there, okay? A little tactile way. Just drop some on yourself. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're remembering how somebody dropped a seed into you. Somebody shared their life with you. You're here today, or you're even seeking today, because somebody shed some light to you. Somebody explained to you who God was. Somebody did that, and it was really, it was interesting. New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, and then somebody else reaps. All of us are here today because multiple people have built into you and talked to you about certain things. It's really good. So what we're going to do today is not so much think about how I did. I'm going to try to equip you to put a seed in somebody else. So now's the time when you throw a seed on somebody next to you. Just go ahead and do it right there, right there. Just go ahead and pelt them with the seed right there. Good, wonderful. That's good. That's good. Just right in their face. That's great. Safety glass, they're good. Fine, if you want to be a hardcore evangelist, just throw a bunch of them all over the place. That's what we're doing right now. I'm going to help you to sow seeds. Boy, we're having fun today, aren't we? This is good. This is good. You know, when Jesus talks about being harassed and healthy, hey, can we just notice this about our culture? We in our culture are harassed and we are helpless. Every social indicator that I see in our culture is going the wrong direction, every single one. Mental health is going down, down. Mental illness is skyrocketing. Depression is skyrocketing. Suicide higher and more than ever has been before in our country's history, is the last statistic I saw. Relational connectivity is down and gone. Our ability to feel connected with one another, friendships is down, gone. People getting married later than ever before. People having as much divorce as they ever had before. People having fewer and fewer kids before. Kids feeling more and more depressed than ever, ever before. Anxiety feeling higher and higher than ever before. People having to take medication just to get by more than ever, ever, ever more. People feeling, us feeling at odds with one another and to claim more than ever. Friends. It's not working. Can we just say that? Someone who's got to have enough of a light inside them to say, there's a lot of darkness around here. The way we live our life, trying to compete with the next guy, trying to have a really good life that I broadcast on Instagram, trying to have the right thoughts so I don't get canceled, trying to say the right things so I toe the line, trying to do the right responsible things, it's not working. It's not. Or all the statistics would be very, very different. I believe it's not working because we don't have the light of Christ. We don't have him illuminating our lives. Light is a source of healing. It's a source of growth. That's what lasers do. Lasers can heal. Lasers can grow. They can slice us open. They can also bring healing for us. The Barna organization a number of years ago started doing studies on how many of us actually share our faith. How many of us talk about our faith? Here's what they found. In 1993, 89% of Christians who had shared their faith agreed that this is a responsibility of every Christian. Today, just 64% so, a 25-point drop. I would say, just my opinion, from 2022 to back then, I'll bet it's at least another 25% drop. I bet if we went around and had a microphone and say, let's everyone here, tell me the time you talked about your faith with somebody who doesn't have your faith. Tell me about a time when you talked about Jesus to somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. We'd be very, very uncomfortable. There wouldn't be a lot of conversations that are happening in here because we've bought into this lie inside of our culture that religion is a private thing. And now it's true in that there's things that I privately believe and there's things that you privately believe. It's true in that it's private in the sense that we all have to get along with one another and not beat other people up who don't think like us because we live in a multicultural world, a melting pot in our country, and we need to value all spiritualities and religious ideologies and play well with one another, so it's private that way. But Jesus never, ever, ever intended for anybody who's in a relationship with him to be quiet about him. That would mean that we're not really into him. Anything that you and I are into, we talk about, anything. I right now have, this is Stitch Fix. I have Stitch Fix. Any Stitch Fix fans in the house? Stitch Fix. Some people have said like, man, the last couple of years you finally upped your wardrobe. Yeah, Stitch Fix, that's why. I could tell them like what kind of stuff I want, how often to send it to me, and here we are. And you know what? I like talking about Stitch Fix. It's helped my life. It has. I like talking about Yetis because Yetis have helped my, no, I don't like talking about Yetis because they've never given me any free stuff and they should give me free stuff for all the ways I promoted them. But when I've found something that I like, I want to talk about it. Aren't you the same way? A restaurant, a movie, oh, you've got to see. Oh, what does it say about us? Well, we don't want to talk about Jesus. Do we not think he's great? Is he not affecting our life? Or are we just buying into this lie that, oh no, I just gotta keep it to myself. I gotta keep myself. I gotta hold it here. Sometimes we need to keep it to ourselves because sometimes people are just downright annoying. I found this one. This is a true deal. It was on YouTube a while ago. A group that tried to set their light in front of everybody else on a plane, on a commercial plane. I don't know if you saw this. Check this out.
You are worthy of all praise.
get one couple like not looking, let me tell you something. Now, I'm a pastor, okay? I'm pretty comfortable about worship settings and all this stuff. I'm a pastor, but let me tell you something. If you do that on a plane that I'm on, I'm going to smack you in the mouth. I promise I'm going to. Not just because you're annoying, but because you're making my job harder. Because I might actually want to talk to somebody next to me about what God's done in my life. It might just come up, and as soon as they find I'm aligned with you, it's not going to go very well. The only people I want singing on a plane is if Jason Aldean happens to be on the plane and he wants to sing about his big green tractor, that's fine by me. Everybody else, just shut your yapper. This is maybe part of why we don't talk about our faith. We don't want to be seen as that guy, as that woman, or we've just seen people beat other people up or whatever it is. I understand the hesitation. I understand why we don't want to. I'm just saying, if we don't, it says something not all that complimentary about us. And when we do, we grow. We do. I'll tell you what, there's just something happens when you put your faith in line and you say something. I don't mean say like taking a stand. I'm not talking about that. There's too many people taking too many stands in America, personally. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about getting into the whole culture wars and culture rhetoric. I'm talking about, hey, there's a person I've met has had a huge impact in my life. Can I tell you about him? I'm talking that. When you do that, your stomach will be up in your throat, and you'll be nervous, and you'll feel really weird. And whenever you're done, you'll feel the pleasure of God in your life. You actually grow. And then every once in a while, someone actually is going to receive that seed, and they're going to start blooming fruit, and your spiritual life is going to take off because God actually used you. This last, if I seem a little disjointed, which I hope I'm not seeming, but if I am, I got a good excuse. I got in last night from a flight from Germany. I've been over in Germany the last 12 days or so, something like that. I've been over because I've been trying to grow, and I thought there's some things over in the German culture I think would be helpful for me to grow. I wanted to take a look at the life of Martin Luther, who led the Protestant Reformation. You might have never heard of that. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I know one thing you probably have heard of. You've probably heard of Nazism. How many people have ever heard of Adolf Hitler? I was fascinated to see how Germany is still negatively affected by all that took place in World War II and afterwards. Germany, the German people, just had an awful, awful run, especially the people in East Germany have had an awful, awful, awful run. They went from losing World War I to war reparations to Adolf Hitler giving them hope by giving them a wartime economy that was coming back, to feeling like they were getting some wins by taking over other people, to having lost everything, lost face in front of the whole world. And in East Germany, then lost their freedoms as well because communism swept in and took them over, and they've just been under the gun, literally, for a long, long, long time. And you can feel it in the area. I stayed in this town called Weimar, which is was the capital of Germany when Hitler came to power, and then he moved it to be Berlin. Here's Lib and I at our hotel in Weimar in this little interesting place. Really cool. The square, I've never been in a square that was more quiet than this. I've never been in a square that was more subdued, even when there's a band and bratwurst. Never, ever, 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 ever. Because the German people here have learned, like, hey, calling attention to yourself, big crowds, just not good. There's another person who stayed at our hotel. I don't know if you've ever seen this person. That's our hotel. The person who stayed at our hotel. They actually constructed that balcony in the hotel we stayed just so he could address everybody in the square who came in to see him. It was chilling to see that picture while we were staying there, chilling to understand the history of this place, and chilling to see how the light of Christ is dulled and nearly extinct in all of at least East Germany where we were. Less than 1% of people go to church, would profess to be Christians. We went to a church, and all German language. I didn't understand what was happening at all because it's in German. Talked to the pastor afterwards, who could speak English, and he said, my grandmother told me that she was made to join things and go to big meetings, when the Nazis came into power, and then she was made to join things and go to meetings when the communists came to power, and she said, I'm just done joining things and going to meetings. I'm just done. So if becoming a Christian means doing that, I'm just not going to do it. You ever see somebody worshiping in Germany in around 1941? I have a picture for you. You might have seen this worship picture. All right? Now, that's the way many of us were earlier. Name above all, you know, raise our hand. Hey, it's a thing of worship. So when you have forced worship of an entity in a culture, and then you expect people to go to big meetings where people are going like this in Germany? See, in Germany, they don't have no hope of the cool, hip, mega church making a difference. They know it's not going to make any impact at all. It's people on people. And today in America, Crossroads tries to be and is maybe a cool, big, hip mega church, but there's increasing numbers of people that don't want any part of it. And even if you did want something to be part of this, it's still nothing like a person telling their story. Just depending, like people are going to church, it's going to happen, is just not helpful. God raises up people like you to talk to people only you can talk to. Raise up people like me to talk to people only I can talk to. This is what he does. There's a unique story you have for a unique person. And what we need to do is learn just how to talk about that. It's powerful when we do. And you never know exactly when it's going to happen. It was really sickening to look in Germany and see how an entire culture, again and again and again, an entire culture got it wrong. We talk about here in our country, I don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Don't be on the wrong side of history. What do we mean by that? Do we mean like, I don't want to believe things that people later on don't believe? Is that what we mean by that? Or do we mean I need to be where everybody else is because that's where history is? Hey, we have a history in Germany like this where everybody was wrong. Everybody was going the wrong direction. Everybody had it wrong, but yet everybody thinks the same thing. Everybody's going the same place. Everybody has the same worship moments. Everybody has the same vernacular that you use. And here in our country, that's the way it is. If you increasingly don't think the way everybody else thinks and don't say what is a pre-approved speech, you are going to get canceled. And therefore, many of us are taking our light and are putting it under a bushel because I don't want to get canceled. I don't want to tell anybody what I really think. I don't want to tell anybody that God actually could make a difference in our life. Don't want to do that. I went to a death camp and I went to a work camp. So a death camp would be Auschwitz, which I went to, which was purely there to exterminate people. Had a system of having German engineering, using German engineering to systematically and efficiently just kill people. 1.5 million people killed at Auschwitz. Like German engineering at its finest and its worst at the same time. And then Buchenwald, which is a work camp where they wanted free labor to build munitions and all that. And who'd they stick there? They stuck all the undesirables who weren't, by the way, people with dark skin, because people with dark skin, they weren't there in Germany. It was Jews or it was people. This is real. I saw this. It was people who weren't Aryan enough. And what would that be? They had rulers and things, and they would measure where your eyes and your nose and your mouth was and some formula for what all the facial characteristics were. And if you were outside of a certain formula, even if you were totally white, you're like, you're not one of us in the work camp, gone. It was crazy to see it. I learned about a guy who put his light under a bushel, brought his light out from a bushel. I never heard of him before at all. His name was Pastor Schneider. Pastor Schneider was with the confessional church. The confessional church was not the state-approved of church. The confessional church was those churches that live by their confession. They confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, the Almighty Son, giver of all this. They had these statements. That's what governs us, not majority rule, not what the government wants. That's what governs us. And he refused to have a worship Heil Hitler. So they saw that he didn't do that. Just that simple. Didn't do this. You're in Buchenwald, gone. Goes to Buchenwald, and they celebrate Hitler's birthday in there, and they asked someone to take off their hats, and he chose not to take off his hat. So they said, you're out of here. You're to solitary confinement. They put him in solitary confinement, And as the prisoners, new prisoners, would come into the receiving area, which is right beside solitary confinement, he would stand up on his bed. By the way, when he did this, his wife and his kids are left to fend for themselves. He's in solitary confinement, and he's standing on the bunk bed in his solitary confinement cell, preaching to people as they come in. And he would preach, and he would yell out, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's what Jesus said. And what is he saying to people who are coming in? He's saying, it's very likely you're going to die. But there is one who can raise you up on the last day. There is somebody who can give you life. And then, because of his preaching, the Nazis said, we can't have this. They actually altered their buildings. And they took metal boxes. I took this picture. Put them around where his cell was. Like, we just got to box you up. We can't have you still like talking about what you believe and giving people hope. So they put those boxes around all the windows. They could shut so they couldn't hear him preaching. And then he kept, and they said, well, you're done. They just killed him. Killed him, took him away. Now, I am so thankful that I can be in a country and a culture where I can give people the light of life and I can help people understand who Jesus is and the difference he's made. And I really have zero fear of being thrown in prison or dying. It's amazing to live in America. As all of our problems, we can still do that. And yet, we're afraid to do it. We're afraid to talk about our faith, to tell somebody about the hope that lives inside of us. When Patton came to find out about Buchenwald, and when the Allied troops took over Weimar, Patton made all the residents of the town. He told them all. He said, I want all of you, you must get on your Sunday best, get your best clothes on right now, and you're all required to go up the road and see what's been happening 6 miles away from you. Because they said, we didn't know. Oh, you didn't know, you're gonna go see it. So he takes everybody, they gotta march them up there, get them on bus, whatever. Everybody in the whole town with their Sunday best out of honor and respect for everyone who's there, just on the verge of death, emaciated. And he takes them and he walks them through. All this was here on your watch. They had to walk by the bodies that were stacked up outside the morgue that they hadn't yet gotten to eliminate. And they had to rest with, this is on you. This happened on your watch. Underneath your care, right here. Friends, there are bodies stacked up in our culture of people who are dying. People who are just hurting and are lifeless and aren't where they could be and aren't where they should be. And we just, oh, I don't want to know it. Every religion's private. Everyone's got their own thing. Everyone has their own path. Everyone has their own path to destruction. Not everyone has their own path. That's mealy-mouthed modern American spirituality that doesn't understand the light of life, Jesus, who's come and laid down his life. How do I know that God loves us? Everyone believes God is love. How do we know that? We know it because the Bible says that. That's the only way we know that. And anybody else who said that just borrowed it from the Bible. We know it because God so loved the world that he gave the world his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have eternal life. Because God loved us. He spread his arms out on the cross and died for us so that we would never have to die for God, before God, for all of eternity. Friends, that's good news. That's, in fact, right now, you might not have never even heard that before. That's how much God, you know how much someone loves you based on what they're willing to pay for you. God is willing to pay his Son for you and I. That's how much you mean to him, how much he loves you. And all we need to do is accept it, is to receive it, is to step into it. A few weeks ago, I was speaking, speaking of growth. Yeah, okay, I'm done talking about Germany. Everyone go, done talking about that. Relax your sphincter. We're done talking about that. Don't release it, just relax it. Getting a little too real in here, a little too heavy here. Whew, I'm just inspired. I'm just inspired by people who put their faith on the line, who have obviously been growing to be able to do that. And I'm inspired by people who do it in a willful, tactful way, not singing a song on a plane or holding a cardboard sign filled with condemnation on a street corner, but who learn who they are and what their story is and know the appropriate place and time to share it. A few weeks ago, I was speaking in a farming community, thinking of, you know, plants and such. And after the speaking engagement, I went with a buddy who was with me, and we went to the bar in the Speaking of bar, yeah, how could I forget? I better keep my refrigerator door closed. There we go. Went to this bar, and just were debriefed the night. And there was a guy there, and started talking with the guy. And I asked the question that's for me is always an important question, because if I ask this question of you, it probably means you're going to ask that question of me, and that probably means you're going to hear about Jesus. So I always got to think about whether I'm going to ask that question or not. But I said, why not? Let's ask it. What do you do for a living? And this guy's cell phone towers. He repairs cell phone towers. I was mesmerized by that. Like, you get way up there? Like, how do you get up there? What's the safety protocol? Like, when up there? Like, it's just really mind-blowing. Like, some guys just spend, like, up there all day, every day. And then, of course, so what do you do for a living? A pastor. And normally, it just shuts it down totally, right? Oh, boy, I'm getting tired. Woo! Getting tired. If I really want to shut it down, I'll say, I'm an evangelical pastor who preaches the Bible. I'll say that, and that definitely shuts it down, right? If you just say pastor, then... So we started having this interaction a little bit, and I felt I might have been able to go a little further with him, but I was just tired. I was just worn out tired. And we had that conversation, but I thought, you know, those conversations there before the eyes of God, they're probably more important to him than when I'm having this conversation with you. I think he applauds my heart in those moments when I'm, quote unquote, off the clock, not getting paid for it, not possibly having applause for it, don't have to do it, just because my heart's in the right place. I want to talk to another guy about something good that's happening in my life. And when I do, I have a standard thing that I do. It's standard. Like people in sales, when you first start in sales, the most important thing to do that I understand for people in sales is know what your pitch is. Just know what it is. When you start getting really, really good and understanding your product and being a good communicator, you can maybe modify it here and there, but it's really good knowing what it is. So I have three things I always go through. It's this: my past, the point, and my present. It's always those three things. I go in that order. My past, what my life was like, the point, now what my present life is like. So I go into, well, why would you do that? Why do you believe what you believe? However it comes, I say, I've struggled my whole life with rejection. Some people might say it was because I was adopted, and I've always felt rejected, maybe from the person who adopted me or gave me away, even though it was the most loving thing anybody could do. Some psychologists say that I felt distant from the symbiotic fluid in the heartbeat that I was with, and I felt rejected. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've always felt rejected. I always feel like people are judging me. I always feel like I'm on the outs. I always feel like I'm not one of the cool kids. When somebody leaves, I've always taken it more personally than I should. It's this thing of feeling just distant, separate from, and that's the way I felt from God, distant, separate from. But there was a point when that changed for me. Now I'll just tell you what this is. I didn't tell this guy this, but I'll just tell you. When I was in Germany, I went to the pastor's church I told you about, and everything was in German. Everything in German, they sang in German, and the few people were there. There was a good number of people there. I think there's maybe 100 people there, because we had 35 people in the bus. A bunch of people came from around the country, and there was another country there. So they had like triple-digit church attendance. They never had. There's no church in East Germany that ever has 100 people attending. Not there at all. And I sat there while this happened, and I was having like this old school moment of, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm 15 again. I have no idea what's happening in here. It's in German. I don't understand the words. I don't know. This is like, they're just droning on. That's how I felt when I was 15 years old. I felt so disconnected from God and anything about religion. And then when somebody told me their story, his name was Denny Patton, and he told me what it meant to be a Christian, I was just, what? He told me the basics of being in a relationship with God instead of being in a religion. And what that relationship looked like, and I could receive him and say a prayer and start a new life. I made that decision, I made that point. And my present is, man, I just sense God. I can give you all kind of reasons why I believe that Bible is true, and I can give you all kind of arguments for why God exists and why Jesus rose from the dead. I could do that. I do that fairly well, maybe. But the most important thing is I just sense his presence right now. I sense it. Sense his approval right now. Sense it in the present. And that's why I believe, and that's why people have all over the world. When you share your story, the way that God has moved in your life, and it's your story, people can't argue with it. And they want to hear it. We do want to hear that from one another. That's what he does. And when you do that, it's never something you want to do. Because it always is tough. It's an adventure. Jesus, at the last part of Matthew, I'm not going to read it right now. I don't have time. Don't have time to. But Jesus says, go into all the world. Go. Go into all the world. Go. Go. Go into all the world, preaching the gospel and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go. Those people didn't want to go. They lived in a time and era where you died within 5 to 10 miles of where you were born. And the idea of going, that was difficult. That was an adventure. I'll tell you what. That's why they grew. That's why the early church took off. They did the difficult things. That's why your faith and my faith can grow, can take off if we do the difficult things. If you want to do the things the greats did in the past, that is where growth is and adventure and meaning and purpose. That's where the love of God is. Darn, I should have better clothes than that. That's my close. Let's pray. God, I thank you for our morning and for your goodness and for your patience. And Lord, I know there's folks who are with us. We're going to see you the first time. Welcome us with open arms. I know there's other people who are going to have our seeds thrown on them in the next week, and we pray that it would actually take root. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Well, hey guys, thank you so much for joining us. But don't let this just be something that you watched or information that you heard. Do this stuff. Go in the app, share your story. It will bless the world. It'll bless people around you. Let's do that together.